So we're going to finish our series in talking about the songs of Christmas. If you'd like to turn to Luke chapter 2, you can do that if you'd like, Luke chapter 2. And in the book of Luke, the first two chapters, Luke tells the story of the birth of Jesus. And in those two chapters, he talks about, and he recites, or he writes down four songs written in the way of a poem. We wouldn't see them as a song, but nonetheless have been down through history kind of turned into this idea of a song written in poetic form. These four songs, the first song we looked at was Mary's song. Mary singing a song of hope. You know, she gets this word from an angel that she's going to be having a baby. She has not yet had a reason to think she was going to have a baby. When you preach sermons in front of 8-year-olds, you have to give the PG version. I'm just now thinking through as they're staring at me. So Mary sings this song of hope that things are going to be different and things are going to change. Then the second song is by a man named Zechariah. He's the father of John the Baptist. John the Baptist is the man you can read in the Gospels who's going to come before Jesus and be the one who foretells his coming and actually baptizes Jesus in the start of his ministry. And his father is named Zechariah, his mother Elizabeth. They're way beyond having babies in their years. They're too old to be having children, and they've never had children, but Elizabeth still has a child, and it's a miraculous child. So these two children being born in miraculous ways. And Zechariah sings a song of salvation about Israel, and he sings a song about his son and says, "You are going to be the one that goes before the Messiah." And then last week we looked at the song that the angels sing. The angels come to a bunch of shepherds, and in the moment of awe and a moment of just amazing how big God is, He appears before these lowly shepherds with their sheep dirty in a field, and they sing this song of glory, and these men are in awe of what God is doing. And so we talked about the idea that we should remember how God works in our lives, and we should be in awe of all those things as well. And then he ends, Luke, the writer of the book of Luke, ends his story of Jesus' birth with a song by a man named Simeon. Now, you can read Simeon's story in chapter 2. Simeon is an older man. He's been waiting for a while. It says that he has been overcome by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit has told him that before he dies, he will actually get to physically look at the Messiah. He will have the privilege of being able to do that. So he spends his days waiting for the Messiah to come, so he can see him. And he has made, Jesus had made this promise to him, and he's told this. And so he waits, obediently, looking for the Messiah. So that day, several days, about 40 days after the birth of Jesus, it is traditional for infant sons to go to the temple. It's not unusual. This isn't weird about Jesus. This is a normal, regular practice in their culture. So they go and they sacrifice a turtle dove, a little dove, in honor of Jesus, in honor of who God is in the life of Jesus. They do that for all boys. But this time it was different. How many times has Simeon walked to the temple, wondering if it was going to be the day? Is today going to be the day that I see every day, faithfully, obediently, going to see if he's going to see the Messiah that day? So Simeon's song then talks of transformation. He sings this song because he comes in contact with the boy. And we read the scriptures this morning already. We're going to read 29 through 32 again together. So after he sees the boy, he takes him in his arm, verse 28 says, takes him in his arms, and he says these words, verse 29 of Luke chapter 2. "To Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel." So Simeon's life has been changed from the beginning. When the moment the Holy Spirit sat on him, the moment the Holy Spirit came to him and said, you're going to see the Messiah, he obediently enters into this walk with God. Every day going obediently to see if he's going to see the Messiah. And in that moment, everything comes to a head, comes to fruition for him. His life is transformed. His whole life, his life of worship, his life of serving, his life of waiting is all different and changed. Simeon views his life as a blessing. He finally says, you said I'm going to make it till I'm not going to die before I see the Messiah. Well, I'm done. I can go now. It's okay. I've now seen the Messiah. My eyes have seen him. And you can dismiss your servant, it says, in peace. So Simeon has purpose. He has purpose because of this calling on his life. You know, Jesus transforms his whole life. His whole life has purpose because he comes and the Holy Spirit tells him, you're going to see the Messiah. You're going to be able to see him. You're going to be able to prophesy over his mother because that happens next. He actually gives Mary a prophecy. He spends his whole life, even the mundane, repetitive, year after year, day after day, going to the temple to maybe that day see the Messiah with his own eyes. It's all worth it. For in that moment, he finally sees the Messiah. Jesus transforms every day from that moment he sees him to the ones in the past and the ones in the future. However many he had left, it doesn't tell us how many he has left. He sees Jesus and he declares the salvation for all nations. And however many days he had left, we don't know how many, but you know for a fact he's declaring the coming salvation of the Lord the rest of his life because of who he saw in the temple court that day. So Simeon sings this song of transformation about not only his life, but all the people that come in contact with him. Because he then gives this prophecy to Mary. This is what he says. This is verse 33 through 35. It says, the child's father and mother marveled at what he had said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will even pierce your own soul too. So Simeon reveals in this moment something that is true for all of us. For the rest of his days, he declares the salvation of Jesus. And he speaks directly to Mary at this point. He points out to both of them that Jesus is not to be someone you can simply ignore. There will be a decision that you have to make about who this Jesus person is. And that was true when Jesus was alive on earth and living amongst us, and it's true even today. It has never stopped for 2,000 years. You can't ignore Jesus. It's in that belief or in that rejection of who Jesus is that Jesus transforms things. And people have today, even today, have to reckon with who Jesus is. Even the ones who don't even care, who blow him off, who don't think anything of it, who don't think it's just a nice story in a book. You are making a decision about who Jesus is. Even to the point, he even doesn't leave Mary. Mary's not exempt from this story. He even says to her, even a sword will pierce your own soul. And this is a prophecy to the several years later, whenever he's a grown man. And she's dealing with the reality of who her son is. She's the first to know. She and her husband, Joseph, are the first to know who this man is going to be. And then they have to live with that knowledge and that reality as he grows up. When he's a toddler, when he's annoying and he makes a lot of noise and he stops, won't stop breaking stuff. Jesus was a toddler like all the rest of us. And several of them ran out of here a few minutes ago. Can you imagine Jesus running around in the sanctuary? can only hope our kids are as... I'm just kidding. Growing up with that fact, Mary knows this. At some point, she loses her husband. You don't see Joseph's conversation anywhere else really in Scripture. Most likely, Joseph passes away before Jesus really enters into his ministry. And there's a time in Mary's life when things really get heated. At the beginning of Jesus' ministry, they're all at a party. And they run out of wine. It's Jesus' first miracle. And it's really his mother who gets the thing going. And they're out of wine and they need some more wine. And she knows who her son is and she knows what her son can do. And she has faith that her son can do something. And she says, "Son, can you help in this situation?" And Jesus said, "Hey, it's not my time. It's not..." She's like, "No, let's go." You know, and he, like any good mom, he's obedient to his mother. And so he goes and he creates more wine out of this water. And at that moment, she knows something is going on. Something's even beyond what she thought was going to happen. But fast forward a few years later, when things really started heating up, when Jesus actually started saying things that people didn't like, and she thinks back to what Simeon said over and prophesied over her son. It says, "For my eyes have seen the salvation, which you prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for the Gentiles and the glory of the people of Israel." And then he stops and he says, "This child is destined to call falling, to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel." All of a sudden, she can flash back to this moment where people are still now getting mad at Jesus about the things that he is saying. And he's causing a really big problem because he's now having people follow him around and people want to know what he's going to do. And he does a few miracles, which then really blows up all over the place and has more and more people following him. And to the point where she's so worried and so concerned for his well-being, she goes and tries to get him out. She takes her kids with her, his brothers with her. She's outside this house with her children, her grown children, and she asks for Jesus to come out. And in that moment, Jesus says something that I don't recommend you saying to your mother. He basically says, "This is my mother and my brothers. The ones sitting here with me right now who are willing to sit in the midst of this circle with me, even with everything raging on around me. This is my family." Maybe she thinks back in that moment to what he said when he said that even a sword will pierce your own soul, Mary, because you're even going to struggle with this idea of who Jesus is. You're in this moment, you want to protect him, you're worried about him, you think somebody's going to kill him, and she was right. Somebody's going to come get him, and somebody's going to kill him. And in that moment, as a mother, she's worried and she's concerned, and her soul is split in two between being a mother worried about her child and being a follower of the Messiah. Because Jesus even transforms our suffering. In the midst of all of those things, He transforms even the things that are difficult. Several decades later, a man by the name of Paul wrote several books of the Bible, one of them called the Philippians. It's a letter to a church in Philippi. And he says this in chapter 1, verse 27. It says, "Above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. Then whether I come and see you again or only hear about you, I will know that you are standing side by side, fighting together for the faith, which is the good news." It says, "Do not be intimidated in any way by your enemies. This will be a sign to them that they are going to be destroyed, but that you are going to be saved even by God Himself." And this is what he says here about suffering. It says, "For you have been not only the privilege of trusting in Christ, but you've been given the privilege of suffering for Him." And it's in the midst of that moment where even Mary's mother's soul is split in two in the midst of her son, knowing what he's got to do and wanting to protect him at the same time, that we can see that God can transform even the suffering that we deal with. that it's a privilege that we know in the moment that it doesn't matter whether we've been sick or who, maybe we've lost somebody, maybe you're struggling with not having enough money or in poverty or work. All of those things, because of Jesus, can be transformed. I mean, that's the meaning of Christmas. Of this child coming in the form of an infant, of a baby, being vulnerable, being being at risk at many times in his life, so that when, like Paul says in Philippians, so that even your enemies, when they see you dealing with the suffering that you go through, they will know that there's a reason that you do that. That you don't see it as some form of punishment, that somehow something went wrong with you because you contracted cancer or something like that. But even in the midst of suffering, even in the midst of loss, even in the midst of poverty, we can show that it's a privilege to be able to walk with Jesus through those things. We know Mary learned that. We know that she did, because at the end, even when some of Jesus' disciples abandoned him, she stayed. She stood there next to him on the cross. And she stayed. So in this time of Christmas, Jesus transforms all things. All things are transformed because of who Jesus is and what He did. We see lots of stuff at Christmas time. We see lights. We see Santa Clauses. We see presents. We see commercials telling us to buy lots of stuff. We see people in need. Sometimes, a lot of times at Christmas time, and at Thanksgiving, we see people in need differently than we do the other 10 months of the year. Because people engage differently during this time. But all of us, I want all of us to know that Jesus transforms all of that stuff. All, no matter what culture you're in, no matter where you've grown up, doesn't matter what country you're from, what culture you've been a part of. That we can be transformed. This is the promise of Christmas. This is the promise that Simeon sings about at the end of his life. That Jesus transformed my life. Not just this moment when I finally saw His face, but all the moments that led up to this point. All the times that I was suffering, I was waiting, and I was doing, and I was being obedient. All of that happens because of this moment when Jesus was born. All things can be transformed if we believe, if we are obedient. Our money is transformed. Our suffering is transformed. Our work is transformed. Our children, our family, all the problems we have, all of our health, whether it's good or bad, all of those things are transformed because of Jesus. Instead of it being a moment of suffering and something we hate, and something we don't believe ever has anything good that comes from it, we can see that there's a privilege to be able to live through all things. Not some things, not just part of the things that we live through, but all things are a privilege to be lived through for the sake of what Simeon saw that day in the temple court. What he saw in the face of Jesus. I have no clue how different it was, but when he saw it, he knew it. And this is what he said. He said, "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and to the glory of your people Israel." So that is the promise of Christmas. That is what Jesus came and did. He came and promised us to do. That if we believe and if we are obedient, that He can transform us today. There's no difference between 2,000 years ago and today when it comes to the transformative power of Jesus Christ. It is true today just as much as it was then. So I'm going to pray for us. Our kids are going to come, and they're going to lead us in a song. We traditionally like to light candles on the last day. We got away from kind that can catch the place on fire and went with electric ones now, but still the same. They're going to first sign the song for us, and then we're going to let you watch that, and you're going to be asked to kind of join in with us. But as we do that, I want us to just be thinking about, where is God transforming you and in your life? What areas is He working on you? Is it in some suffering? Are there some things going on that you want to begin to see? What is God doing in the midst of that? Because He can do a work in the midst of all things, even in the things that you don't think He can. Maybe it's in a relationship that you need God to work in the midst of because it's difficult. What can God do? Where is God need to show up? Where does God need to show up in your life and begin to work His transformative power? Because He can transform all things. And He does it, and He shows us He can do it through His Son, Jesus Christ. So I'm going to pray for us. Who's in? Beth's going to come. You want to get the kids set up while we do that? Worship band's going to come. Jesse, go ahead and get ready for that while we pray. So the guys that are going to be signing and they want to get in place, they can. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for this opportunity to be together as a family, to worship You and to sing Your praises as we remember and we think about that day 2,000 years ago when Your Son was born. God, we thank You for the transformative power that You have and that you give us in our lives. God, today I pray for those who are struggling with finances. I pray right now that You know who they are. I pray that You would begin to transform the way they think about money. I pray that You would transform just all things in the aspect of that in their lives. God, I pray for those who are suffering, whether it be in a relationship, whether it be with their bodies in an illness. Father, I pray that You would transform that. God, that there would be reconciliation in relationships, and that can be a testimony to the power of Your Son, Jesus Christ. God, I would pray You'd move in their lives even today, even during this season when families get together. I pray that You would work in that. Father, I pray for those who are ill. I pray that you would go ahead and heal their bodies, Father. But in the midst of whether they're healed or they're not healed, they would know that You work through all things. And they can praise You and bring glory and honor to You through that. God, I pray for those who have families here today. I pray for the children in those families. I pray that You would have a mighty work in the lives of those families. God, You transform all things. The things that I've talked about, the things I hadn't even thought of, the things that people are thinking right now that I haven't even, that maybe even no one knows about. God, You know about those things. I pray You would begin to transform those as well. God, as we sing this song to You, as we continue to praise You today, God, that You would know that we want to glorify You in all that we do. Whether we be singing with our voices, signing with our hands, or working in the lives of people around us. Father, use us in a mighty way to show people that You are in the power and in the business of transforming lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, can we get Emma? Hey, Emma.